The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, sponsored by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship in Kokomo, Indiana, and I am Pastor Schulze. In our continuing study of the book of John, let us turn to the first chapter of John, reading the 12th verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray now for thy divine illumination on the declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I shall start with a quote from Dr. Adam Clark in reference to this great text, and here it is. Quote, he who is made a child of God enjoys the greatest privilege which the divine being can confer on this side of eternity. Unquote. Oh, this is so wonderful that I'm going to read it again. He who is made a child of God enjoys the greatest privilege which the divine being can confer on this side of eternity. So then, dear ones, what more do you want? So then, dear ones, what are you crying about? What are you distraught about? You have received the greatest privilege. If you're a child of God, you have received the greatest privilege that can be conferred on this side of eternity. I think there are only two things that we could get that's better than that, and one is that it would be better if all men would come to the knowledge of God, and the other one is heaven itself. Now, there's a good old song that the Church of God people like to sing, and it's like this. Praise the Lord, my heart with his love is beaming. I am a child of God. Heaven's golden light over me is streaming. I am a child of God. The becoming of a child of God begins with receiving. There are two words John uses here in his 12th verse that we need to pay attention to. The one is receiving, and the other one is believing. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So we have receiving and believing. To become sons of God, we must both receive and believe, or believe and receive. I live on a farm property, and we have grain fields around us, and we have a wilderness area also on the south side of us. So there are rats and mice and moles in our vicinity. We call them little critters, and so we believe in cats because cats keep these invaders out of our home, out of our garage, and out of our barn. And so we believe in cats because cats hunt these critters, and they kill them, and they eat them. Yes, we believe in cats. My wife also believes very much in cats. We both believe in cats. But there's a difference in the way my wife and I believe in cats. She not only believes that they are good and helpful, but she loves them, to the extent that she receives them into the house whenever I allow it. We both believe in cats, but my wife receives them in her arms. When we come home after church or she comes home from shopping, it's not uncommon for her to pick up a cat in the driveway or on the back porch, and she receives that cat in her arms. Yes, we both believe in cats, but my wife believes and cats so much the more than I do. She believes in cats to the receiving of them. What she believes, she receives in her bosom. Now, that does not mean that I don't stroke the cats once in a while. Oh, I do, but I do it because the cats put up their tails straight up in the air, and they rub against my legs and say, stroke me, stroke me. So I do stroke them because they want to be stroked, but not because I want it, because they want it. That's why I'm doing it, because I'm too busy for stroking cats and picking up cats. But my wife does not only stroke cats and pick up the cats, because they want it, but she strokes them and picks them up also because she wants it. Then we both feed the cats, but I feed them only when I have to, when my wife's gone. I feed them out of necessity, but my wife feeds them out of love. When my wife feeds these cats, she talks to them, and they talk back to her. They sometimes give forth certain sounds or have certain body motions by which they communicate to her. So these cats have no big part in my life, but they have a big part in my wife's life. Ah, what a difference between believing and receiving there can be. My wife buys Valentine cards with cats on them. She likes cat posters. She likes cat stationery. And she once in a while likes a cat figurine. Oh, we both, don't get me wrong, we both believe in cats, yes, but my wife receives them and I don't receive them. My wife has a name for all these cats. But listen, some of these cats have been around here for years and years and years. And I still don't know their names. I know them by their colors, but I don't know them by their names. And when the cats are sick, I don't pay much attention to it because I hardly ever notice it if they're sick. But my wife, she takes them into the laundry room, into her sewing room, and she nurses them back to health. Well, that's enough on the cat business. I'm saying all this, dear ones, to bring out that there's a difference between believing and receiving. Now, the problem is that for almost 2,000 years, most people in Western civilization and some foreign lands have believed in Jesus as I believe in cats. If you believe in Jesus as I believe in cats, you'll never receive Jesus, you'll never receive the power of God, and you'll never become a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So there's a mentality today that has been around for a long time that if we just believe in Jesus, we shall make it to heaven. If we pray once in a while, or out of necessity, or if we just have a general idea as to who God is, who Jesus is, if we go to church faithfully on Sunday mornings, friends, we'll somehow are going to make it to heaven and all will be well because we believe. Dear ones, you will not get started with Christianity. You will not be able to keep going with Christianity until you believe unto receiving. I know most of you who listen to me believe in Jesus at least as much as I believe in cats, or you wouldn't be listening to me. And that's good. That's a good start. But someday, your believing must turn into receiving the receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a difference that will make. It will take you out of darkness into light, out of death into life, out of weakness into power. It will take you out of boredom into thrills, romance, and adventure. The multitude believed Jesus, but they did not receive Jesus. And when his words became uncomfortable to them and too challenging for them, they no longer believed in him. They rejected him. They left him. They crucified him. But Levi received Jesus into his house. He, it says, made a great feast for Jesus. His believing included receiving. Zacchaeus received Jesus in his house. His believing also included receiving. Mary and Martha and Lazarus received Jesus in their house. Every time he came, they were glad and they dropped everything they did to do everything that Jesus wanted to be done. We must drop everything of the self-life, or we can't receive Jesus. Jesus will not come into our lives unless he is allowed to be the Lord of our lives. He will not be a servant to us. He was a servant when he was on earth, but now he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And if You won't let him rule. If you won't receive him as a King of Kings, he will not come into your life. We can only receive Jesus for all he is, and that includes his Lordship. So, friends, there are two kinds of believing, aren't there? There's the believing I described that falls short of receiving, that always falls short of receiving, and that is practiced by most persons in our churches. And this leads to a form of godliness, to a form of godliness, I say it again, denying the power thereof. But then there is a believing that leads to receiving, and that makes sons of God out of us. For as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. Now, in the Amplified Bible, this verse reads like this. It says, "But as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God, that is, to those who believe in, who adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name." Notice the verbs here for the word believe. One is to adhere, one is to trust in, and one is to rely on. That's the Trinity that distinguishes biblical faith from unbiblical faith. These three words: adhere, trust, and rely. It is this biblical faith that receives Jesus for all he is, for all he wants to do, with all his authority and with all the power of his Lordship over our lives. This biblical believing leads to receiving Jesus. It leads to keeping Jesus in our lives forever. So the word we have here, believe, has three other hidden verbs contained in it: adhering, trusting, and relying. The great Trinity of holy faith. First, consider the word adhere. That means you will never let go of him, of his word, of his promise. And because you will never let go of him, he will never let go of you. How many of you know about liquid nails? That's the glue that bonds wood to wood. And that glue, this liquid nails, as they call it, now is so strong that you can take a piece of pine wood and glue it to a piece of fir wood and let it dry. And then when you try to separate these two woods, you end up with pine that has fir bonded to it and with fir that has pine bonded to it. This describes the biblical meaning of the word faith. That means to adhere to what you have faith in, to adhere to Jesus. As you receive him, you adhere to him so that his life gets stuck on you and your life gets stuck on him. The Trinity of faith includes to adhere to, be bonded to the Lord Jesus Christ. The second word of this Trinity of faith, biblical faith, is a word to trust him. And Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." We must trust in Jesus with all our heart, which is another part of the Trinity of faith, trusting in the Lord. Trusting means that we will witness for Jesus. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways be a witness to him, to Jesus. In all your ways identify with Jesus by word and by deed. If you do that, my friend, he shall direct your path, and that means he shall lead you by the Holy Spirit. Finally, the third verb of the word believe in the Trinity of faith is rely on his name. It means that you have the kind of faith that when you come to a mountain you can climb, you simply say, "Jesus, help me." And this is where we want to stop for today. I am Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.